Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, September 9th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We are at the top of page 84 in the very first paragraph. The paragraph began on the previous page, but we're going to read two sentences today, starting with no matter how far, through two sentences, ending with self-pity will disappear. Today's readers are Christina M. for the 12 Steps, Laura R. for the 12 Traditions, Mary B., Anne Marie M., and Barbara W. are our readers for today. Barb W. will greet newcomers at the end of the meeting, so please do stay on the line to share your number. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, which would be Wednesday, September 8th, is 17706. That's 17,706. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, September 9th, is 17712. That's 17,712. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting to our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Christina M. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. Okay, and Laura R. will now read the 12 traditions for us.
Thank you. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in very one full meaty passage that we're breaking up into sentences. And today, we're at the top of page 84 to begin, and we're going to read two sentences beginning with no matter. And Mary B. is going to read and comment on that for us today. Please begin reading, Mary.
Thank you, Elaine. May I be heard?
Yes, you may, loud and clear.
All right, thank you. Good morning. My name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm on page 84 of the Big Book. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Yeah, it's really wonderful how we've been able to break down this paragraph. This is an amazing paragraph. Because you see, for me, my disease, it had some promises too. It had a lot of promises. If I were to continue to overeat and binge and purge and restrict and throw up and do all and hide the wrappers and all my tricks, it was going to continue to give me pain, depression, anxiety, weight gain, not being able to communicate with others because I'm too busy thinking about the food, and the list goes on and on. And let me tell you, folks, when I was suffering in my disease, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all. I wanted the misery to end. I never wanted to think about it again. I wanted it to be over. But as usual, this disease is illogical. The recovery that we as compulsive overeaters need to be into is also illogical. It doesn't make sense. How am I going to stay out of the food every day? I'm going to help others. I'm going to make outreach calls. I'm going to call the newcomer. I'm going to reach out to my fellows. Yeah, and that's exactly how I stay out of self-pity and how I've become extremely useful. Thanks be to God and this program, because I was so miserable when I got here. I wanted to die. I wanted to commit suicide. I didn't think I was worth anything. I didn't even see, would life had a purpose? What was the purpose? The only purpose I knew of life was to continue to binge my brains out. That was the purpose. It was me and the food. Well, through the generous kindness of Overeaters Anonymous and A Vision for You, I have over 4 years of being abstinent from the insanity, from the dependence upon a drug called food that nearly killed me. And I am so forever grateful for that. And yes, my experience has hopefully helped others. And I just want to say thank you to A Vision for You. It still brings tears to my eyes. I'm so grateful. Thank you for allowing me to share today. Welcome to the newcomers. Thank you to everybody on the line giving service and everybody that showed up today to help me stay out of the food. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Mary B. Appreciate it. All right. So though we value your experience, we do have to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to comment on this powerful paragraph, we'd love to hear from you. Press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Shawnee B.
Deb E.
Shawnee B. Deb E.
Carol Q.
Larry G.
Carol Q.
Amy
Maria
Larry J.
G. Amy and Maria. Let's stop there.
And
Jody
E.
Oh, and okay, we're jumping into the next lineup. Jody E. and I heard Anne Marie M. Okay, all right. This is a great lineup. Okay, let's see. I've got Shawnee B., Deb E., Carol Q. I can't even believe I got all this. You guys are great. Larry G., Amy G., Maria J., Jody E., and Anne Marie. Woohoo! What a start. Okay, so if you're not Shawnee B., please mute your phone. And Shawnee B., please share with us.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay. Shawnee B., compulsive overeater. I don't make it to this meeting too often, but for some reason today, I just felt compelled, and I decided to follow that intuition, and I love, like, I had no idea that I would be so blessed to hear those two sentences. You know, thank God I have the miracle of abstinence, but when I think about going, like, the depths of pain, I just celebrated the Jewish New Year, and holiday time is extremely painful and triggering for me, and it was deeply, deeply, deeply painful. And I kept thinking, you know, the one miracle that I have that I could grasp onto was the miracle of abstinence. And I was hosting meals, like, literally morning, night, and I had my own meals, and it was such a miracle. But what really stood out for me in those two sentences was that I think that so many of us here on the line, oh, you know, it was so miserable then and now it's so wonderful. That hasn't really been my experience. But my experience is showing me that even now, you know, a few years later, almost 4 years in this program of recovery, you know, I could hold space for someone that's going through the depths of pain that, let's say, I'm dealing with right now. And that I can serve someone else. You know, I continue to wonder, like, how am I serving anyone in this pain, in this dark pit? And this just has uplifted me so deeply in the idea. I know that this is referring to abstinence, but I do think that this can definitely refer to all the things that the food does push down for us that ultimately come up, and we have to really heal those things. I feel like today I have real purpose and real reason for the newcomer, but for those that have also been around for so long that are still grappling with intense trauma, intense pain, and that there's hope. Even if there's pain, there's hope. And there's the opportunity and the ability to be there for another. And that seems just extremely special for me. And I'm very grateful that God gave me that intuitive desire to be on this meeting. So thank you for letting me share.
I'm glad to give it to you too, Shawnee B. So glad you shared. Thank you very much. Okay, Deb E., you're up next, followed by Carol Q.
Thanks. Hi, it's Deb E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I just wanted to quickly share on these two powerful sentences. You know, when I came to OA, and for many years still, and I still grapple with it from time to time, to come from a place where I didn't feel like I was worthy, that, you know, my opinion didn't matter, that I didn't really have something to contribute, to come from that and to then be promised that no matter how bad it got, no matter how far down the scale I went, that I'd still have something to share that might help someone else. Such a powerful promise. And for me, these promises came at different times and then sometimes in different levels. Like, you know, they showed up and then they showed up in a stronger way later on. But that's one that I feel like started very close to the beginning, and I started sponsoring really early on. And it's just another like reminder of how amazing this program is. It's just, we share our struggles and we share how we're working on them and recovering, and it helps somebody else. You know, like it's a little counterintuitive in my opinion. Like I would think that I just have to have some amazing story to be able to inspire people, not a story, you know, of, you know, anxiety and feeling depressed and despair and all that. Like, how is that going to help somebody? And it's really something how this program has really helped me feel so much more useful, and to have that, to make me feel like I have so much more purpose. And I think that's all I have to share for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Debbie. I can relate. Okay, so Carol Q, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Larry G.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. Carol Q, a recovered compulsive overeater. I really need to share this morning. It's so far down this scale we have gone. And for myself, it took me a long time to get here, to going in and out of programs too, because my self-will was so strong and my desire to run my own life and to control my eating. It took me a long, long time to get here, but I'm so grateful that I had gone to a meeting one night after I had finally given up and said, I can't do this anymore, God, please help. I went to a meeting, I heard a speaker, and he talked about recovery, and he talked about a vision for you. And he talked about connecting with your higher power and getting a sponsor. And I followed those steps. And the last 2 months, I have been free from compulsive overeating, recovery one day at a time. I have a sponsor. I'm just so grateful. I have a trip planned, and I had to ask for a ride, which is really hard for me. I'm very a proud person. That's one of my character defects. And I had to contact two people and ask for a ride, and I worried about it all night. And this morning in my quiet time, I got up and I started writing, and I said, oh my goodness, I forgot. My higher power is in charge now. He's in charge of my life. And I called my sponsor and spoke to her, and within minutes, my nephew called me and said that he would love to take me, and there was no problem at all. So I'm just very, very grateful for this program, especially for all the members who give service. Thank you so much. And I with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Carol Q. Larry G., you're up next, followed by Amy G.
Yes, good morning. My name's Larry G., and I'm from California. I wasn't going to share this morning, but I was so inspired by the reader that I felt compelled to share. That share was so raw and real, and the gratefulness was just coming through. It was just powerful. And I stopped hearing these messages. I was in OA, came back in OA in 2020 and face-to-face meetings. And I was part of the problem, though. I didn't talk about the solution. The reader talked about the solution. I didn't talk about the solution. I was always talking about the food. I was always talking about the problem. I brought the mess to the meeting. I contributed to that, to what was going on in my community. And I love Vision Free. I found my home here because not only we talk about the problem, but we also talk about the solution. And the way I connect back to this sentence, when I came into Vision for You, like the reader, I felt suicidal. I was about to experience my 39th birthday in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I feel I'm suicidal. And I felt useless, even though I have grandchildren, good relationships with my daughters, great marriage, successful business. I felt useless. I didn't want to live. And today I want to live. And I have a coach. I have a life coach for my personal life and my business. It's really been helpful for me. And my coach asked me to write a vision for the rest of this year. And the vision I wrote out, one of the things I wrote out was, I want more time to spend in recovery to help others. I don't know where that came from, to help others in this program. And I'm really enjoying sponsoring. I'm enjoying reaching out and making newcomer calls. I did none of that for 20 years. It was all about me. I would bring in the mess, the binge of the week, you know, the 30,000 calories that would just put me into a tailspin, and come in asking for support, you know, texting my food again, and all the things I did to try to manage my eating. It was totally selfish and self-centered. I did nothing for that program for 20 years. And today I want to give back. It's on my vision. I mean, where did that come from? Spend more time recovering. Spend more time giving back to the new person. That's where the juice is. It's commencing work with others. I really am grateful for the reader this morning. That was so powerful. I'm sure that it has contributed to a lot of people on this call today. Thank you. I'm out.
Thank you very much, Larry G. Okay, Amy G., you're up next, followed by Maria J.
Hi, this is Amy M.C. calling from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you to Team Thursday. It's been a while since I've shared on here, so I'm very grateful that I get the opportunity to do so today. I just want to focus on the piece here about how our experience can benefit others. And a lot of people have mentioned some of this in their shares today, but, you know, program has saved my life in so many ways beyond the food. You know, I came into program, into traditional OA, and, you know, I couldn't stop eating. I couldn't stop binging. Nobody could get it. You know, I remember sharing with my mom and a close friend or two, and, you know, they just didn't understand how I couldn't put the food down. You know, just don't buy it. Just don't open it. Just throw the bag or the box away. And, you know, when I came into program, I heard my story. I heard other people sharing my experience, and I was blown away, and I wanted what they had. And, you know, I was willing to go to any length. I was willing to, you know, do what I was told when my sponsor told me what to do. I was willing to go through the steps. I was willing to go through my inventory. I was willing to make amends. And now, you know, fast forward 10 years later, it's amazing to me how, you know, I have the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope. And I still hear other people sharing my experience, strength, and hope, and how no matter what is going on in my life, I can find someone in program who can help me by relating to me. They can share with me something similar that they've been through and how they dealt with it without picking up the food, without going to the food. I just gave birth to my second child. He's 2 weeks old today. I'm 40. You know, I never would have thought in my wildest dreams, like 10 years ago, that I would have two abstinent pregnancies, two pregnancies where I had no flour, no sugar. You know, my trigger foods were not a part of my plan. And, you know, it's thanks to God and thanks to this program and others who went before us sharing their experience, so that, you know, I get to now share my experience as well. So I'm really grateful, of course, to this meeting, those who come before us, to the newcomer who keeps me in check and keeps me current with what my experience is and helps me remember where I've been. So as it's been said, I get to pass that message forward and be available to others and share my experience so that it can help someone as well. Thank you for that, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Amy M.C. Wonderful. Okay, Maria J. is up next, followed by Jody E.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, Maria. Thank you.
My name is Maria J. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered by God's grace for today. I am so grateful for a vision for you and for all of you done service and for the reader this morning. I have been so grateful for the Big Book and the sponsors that take us through the Big Book. I have just recently worked the steps. I am on step 12, and I love the 9-step promises. But I am ready to begin sponsoring. So I've been for a couple of weeks, you know, putting out there looking for a sponsee, kind of got wrapped up in it looking, you know, for a sponsee, hoping, praying for a sponsee. And that was too much focus on self, right? And recently I was just reminded from our home meeting, we have one of our fellows who is struggling, and they reached out to us in a group text that we have, and just really struggling. Just in helping that fellow with evening binges, which is something that I used to experience, and just sharing my experience, sharing some links to other meetings. And then that fellow reaches back and says, well, are you going to be there? It's nice to see friendly faces on the Zoom calls. And just what a wonderful reminder that how we can use our experience isn't always the way that we can see. You know, I was so narrow focused on sponsoring that was the next right step to do, but was gently reminded this week that that's not our only service, that we can be of service to many of our other fellows, and that does, helping others helps us too. I was prompted to get in those meetings as well and to have that camera on and to share. So for that, I'm very grateful. I love our beautiful program. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Maria J. Jody E. is up next, and she'll be followed by Anne Marie M. And after that, we'll take some more shares, and I'll let you know what we're sharing right after Jody E. Thanks, Jody. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., very gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. Thank you, everyone, for your service. And thank you to everyone who has shared this morning. It's just wonderful to hear everyone's testimony of how this program works. And I just want to chime in. These two sentences are wonderful parts of the 9-step promises. No matter how far down the scale we have gone. Sometimes you hear people refer to this literally, like this should be up the scale. Well, in my case, it when I think of this literally, no matter how far down the scale as an anorexic I have gone, I can see how my experience can benefit others. So I can look at this literally and also figuratively. I was at a very low bottom just before I found OA. I, too, was beginning to think that I might commit suicide one day because of this disease and all that goes with it, the hopelessness, the depression, the feeling of uselessness, the self-pity. How well this book describes my reality in the food. The bedevilments on page 52 describe me well. And thanks to the 12 steps and abstinence today, I don't feel that way at all. I feel like I am useful, more useful probably than I've ever been, both in and outside of the rooms of OA. And the self-pity has disappeared to a large extent. I suppose I can still go there at times, but that's not my go-to anymore. When I start to feel that way, I know it's like, oh no, that doesn't work. I have to get out of myself and into service somehow. How can I be of use to someone else If I want to stop thinking about myself so much, I need to start thinking about others. And this program tells me exactly how to do that. We're so lucky, we're so blessed to be part of this community of A Vision for You and of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you, God, and thank you all for trudging this road with me. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. Anne Marie is up next, and after that, we'll take a couple more people to share on page 84. Two sentences beginning with "no matter how far" and ending with "self-pity will disappear." Please share with us, Anne Marie.
Hi, this is Anne Marie M. I'm gratefully abstinent and recovered through God's grace, and I live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Thank you so much from Elaine. The meeting.
Anne Marie, your phone is kind of going in and out a little bit. Is there an adjustment that you can make?
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're using a headset.
Any.
Okay.
Is better? Is that
yeah,
better?
Yeah, much better. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Okay. I just had to move my location. So thank you. So that feeling of usefulness and self-pity will disappear. I remember just feeling like so useless, lying in bed, not wanting to kill myself, but wishing I wouldn't wake up. Feeling like just hating life. And I at a very younger age, I think I was at my top weight, I did attempt suicide, and just grateful for God interceding and bringing me down the path that I've been. I'm so grateful. If all the things that hadn't happened to me, I don't know if I would be as grateful as I am. And I was thinking about Bill's story and how he changed so much. I mean, we read at the beginning of how eager he was to get money and be on top and be the best all the time. And then all of a sudden on page, after Ebby reaches him and talks to him, it's amazing. It's like we see a change. You know, he goes to the doctor and saying something has happened. The doctor says something has happened to you that I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. And this is what happened. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came to me that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have been so freely given. Be glad to have what I have been so freely given. Perhaps I could help some of them. And I realized that I too feel that way. Like, you know, this has been freely given to me. I've done the work, yes, but God's been there. He's been there all the time. And I just had I was able to reach out and get recovered through a lot of work. The other thing was I was not too well at the time. That's when he was out of work. And was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink. I could relate to that so much. You know, who would think that, you know, a young woman who it was a nurse and so far away from being in the banking business would relate to someone that, you know, an older man who was, you know, much older than me, lived in the 1930s, 1940s, how I could relate to him. And I do. I related to him, the waves of self-pity. And by doing
gentle
service,
reminder.
Just like, oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I ran over, but by doing this service really helps me out of the self-pity. So I'll pass. Thank you.
So true. Thank you very much, Anne-Marie M. Okay. So if you'd like to comment on page 84, the two sentences, no matter how far, and ending with self-pity will disappear, we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others can share too. So if you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. We have room for about four people, three or four people.
Debbie M.
Jordan L.
A.M.
I heard
Michelle
Jordan
F. Kathleen
M.
W.
Debbie, Kathleen.
Mary G.
And Mary. Okay. And I didn't get any last initial except Jordan L. So many people came on. Thank you so much for your willingness and desire to share. Okay, so I have Debbie. We'll need your first initial of your last name. Jordan L. Kathleen W., I believe it was, and then Mary. And I need first initial of your last name as well. So I'm so sorry that I missed all of you. Wish we could go on for another hour, but not able to do that today. So please, if you are not Debbie, please mute your phone. And Debbie, please share with us and let us know the first initial of your last name, where you're calling from, please. Thank you.
Yes, this is Debbie N. from Dayton, Ohio. So glad to be able to share. I am walking, so if you could please time me, I would appreciate that.
Sure.
Okay. What I wanted to share was that, at least for me, what might be the elephant in the room, and that is the scale. I don't know about others, but for a great period of time, the scale was my higher power. It seemed to give me a very objective response to how I was doing, whether I was succeeding, which meant losing weight, or if I was failing, which means I gained weight. And when I came into program, I set the scale aside, that was 14 years ago, and decided to only weigh myself once a month, which I did. I decided that, with the help of a sponsor in the program, that I would guide the physical outcome of working the program by how my clothes fit. Right now I'm walking. 14 years ago, I couldn't climb a 30-degree hill without stopping, losing my breath, pausing. I can do that now without any problem at all. But again, the scale, I let it go because I didn't want it to be my higher power. I didn't want it to be my program. I did an experiment in which I weighed myself in the morning, late morning, after noontime, mid-noon, mid-afternoon, evening, and then late at night. And each time the scale was different. It was maybe a pound higher, a pound lower. And that told me that while it can be an objective response, it cannot be my guide. So I encourage that if, like me, you have had or do have this relationship with the scale, set it aside. Work the steps. Find a power greater than yourself, a higher power, who for me that is God, who will not lie to me, who is consistent in his love for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Debbie N. Jordan L., you are up next, followed by Kathleen W.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. I just wanted to take a second and talk about that promise of self-pity disappearing. A little over a year ago, I lost my job as a result of COVID. And I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but I identify a lot with work. So in the same way that when I came in and got abstinent, I had to grieve part of my identity. I had to let go of my best friend, food, you know. It was kind of the same way with that. And so I was abstinent, and I was working a program. But I did. I fell into a lot of self-pity. And I'm not blaming myself for that. I think that's like a natural place to go, you know. And this was at like 3 years of abstinence and sponsoring people and speaking on meetings and doing 10 steps on a regular basis and practicing 11 and 12 on a daily basis, you know. Life still comes at us, and we gotta deal, you know. And I just wanted to say that when we're painstaking about like these phases of our development, when we really dig in to these places where like life's not going our way, you know, that's where it's like, if I surrender to that, it's where that spiritual growth, man, like it takes me to places I never even knew existed, you know. When I lean into this program, when I lean into a higher power, and I lean into that fellowship, especially in those places when I'm most vulnerable, and that self-pity, man, it's gone. You know, it's just not, it's not even a, it's like the 10 step promises, it's not even there anymore. The problem doesn't exist. So anyway, I just wanted to share that gratitude this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan L. Thank you very much. Okay, Kathleen W., you're up next, followed by Mary. Kathleen W.?
Oh, hi. This is Kathleen W. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I'm from Illinois. I just wanted to claim my seat today. And what an inspiring meeting this is with the shares. I have to say I have been abstinent at a level that I have never experienced in my 11 years of being in OA this past year. And before I started listening to Vision in March of 2020, I was just floundering in my OA program. I felt useless in the program because I wasn't quite sure that I was abstinent enough, and started to lean out of the meetings and the fellowship because I felt guilty. I felt shame because I wasn't working the program perfectly in my way of thinking. And then I started listening to Vision, and I was so inspired by August of 2020, I introduced myself, and from there, I got a mission sponsor. And all that time that I was listening from March to August, I was praying that prayer of help me to set aside everything I think I know and give me an open mind and a new experience. And God answered that prayer, and I started having a new experience. I started to recognize that my yellow lights weren't actually red light foods, and I lost a considerable amount of weight, which I didn't really was even going for. And my spiritual experience, all of these things started to change. But I'll tell you, I really was suffering. I was suffering a lot of the time, even though it was glorious, the revelations that I was getting. But I was suffering with these, you know, still with the guilt and the shame, covered in with the blanket of shame if I wasn't perfect, and, perfectionism. And all of this stuff emerged as I began putting away the food and working, doing the work on the steps. And it was painful. It was very, very painful. It was not a pleasant cloud experience at all. And so now it's almost a year later, and things have changed dramatically for me, and now I'm beginning to feel that usefulness, you know, and that self-seeking is slipping away. Those things are happening now, and it took me all that time. So for me, what I was learning in this year was to be patient and to endure, you know, endure the pain, deal with it, talk about it, do the steps, talk to my sponsor, be honest, you know, learning those things.
Gentle reminder.
Around the food, all around the food. I had been, oh, thank you, I had been in another program and was sober for 26 years, but this was a whole other sobriety. So thank God, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen W. And Mary, you are going to be our final share for today.
Hi, thank you, Elaine. This is Mary G. Oh.
Thank you, Mary G. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Mary G. and grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Arizona. And I had to just jump in and see if I could get on to share. When I first read the Big Book, I read it as a novel. My sponsor, the first sponsor I had over 32 years ago, told me to read it. And so I took it home and I read it in 2 days. And when I got to this line, I thought, wow, do alcoholics have the same problem we do where they're always worried about the scale? And, you know, I just didn't get what that line meant. Of course, I didn't get anything in the Big Book at that time. You know, I just simply read it. And it absolutely had no impact on my life. And, you know, my experience was that I had 17 years of chronic relapse because I thought I knew what the Big Book taught me. You know, I thought I knew what a spiritual experience was. I thought I knew, you know, just everything about spirituality. You know, I was just so arrogant. And, you know, it was only when I put down the food, you know, and started to actually work the steps, which actually was about 3 years after I put down the food, you know, that I realized that I had to change. And that is truly when I think that sentence of then self-pity will disappear and will be helpful to others. That's when that line really came true for me. It wasn't until I started to change and could get out of myself, get out of my ego, get out of my self-centeredness, my self-seeking, whatever I was telling myself, whatever lies, you know. And I always remember thinking, you know, why did I have to go through 17 years of not getting, you know, of thinking OA was supposed to teach me how to be normal. And I just thought, well, it's always to give people encouragement, you know, that no matter how long, no matter how long you've been in these rooms, there is always hope. And I think with that, I'll pass, and maybe someone else can get into care. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary G. That's very, very thoughtful of you. We only have about 30 seconds, so we'll take that for a little extra time to get numbers from newcomers and available sponsors. So thank you, everyone who shared. We're going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book, followed on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Anne-Marie M., please read A Vision for You.
This is Anne-Marie M., recovered through God's grace in South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit to your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.